song. Amen. My Redeemer is faithful and true. I wonder how many we have a little trivia. Who knows what person in the Bible made that statement? Anybody? Brother Shane. Is that the only one, really? Miss Shelley? Brother Charles? Who was it, Brother Shane? Job. That's exactly right. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Probably got maybe 8 or 9 verses of Scripture tonight. And there is a phrase contained in each verse that'll be the thought behind our message. I've preached from these words before, or this thought. In Hebrews, I believe, with all my heart, I'm just convinced that the Apostle Paul was the writer or the penman of the book of Hebrews. And there are some arguments out there, and some say he's not, but I believe that he is, and it doesn't matter anyway. It was still given by inspiration of God, amen. It come from the Holy Ghost. But in the book of Hebrews, I believe, Brother Charles, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I meant to go back and count them today. But in Hebrews chapter number 6, we're not turned there right now, but Paul gives that verse in chapter 6 and verse number 1, let us go on unto perfection, I believe he said. But those two little words, let us, I believe Paul issues that little exhortation about 13 times in the book of Hebrews. Anybody know what the theme of the book of Hebrews, if you had to pick out a theme of the book of Hebrews, what would it be? I would say faith, that's a good one. I believe it's Christ is better. Amen. That just kind of always sticks in my mind when I think about the book of Hebrews. I do think about, what the definition of faith, what is that, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. I think about that. But when I think about the book of Hebrews, the thing that always comes to my mind is Christ is better. Amen. And he talks about everything Christ is better than. He's better than Moses and the prophets. He's better than the angels. Amen. And listen, I love that song Brother Jesse Craigle used to sing. There ain't nothing better than Jesus. I believe that's a Micah Henson song, I believe. There ain't nothing better than Jesus. You can look high and low, up and down, far and wide, and you ain't going to find anything better than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Brother Harry Nix used to say, if you've got something better than that, roll it out here and let us look at it. Amen? Amen. Amen. I've never found anything better than Christ. Amen. But indeed, I'm not going to look at all the every time that he uses that little phrase, let us. But I just want to encourage us tonight to go on in the things of God. Yeah. Amen? I want to encourage us to do better in what we do for God. And every one of these little exhortations that contain that phrase, let us, Paul is encouraging us to do something. Yeah. Amen? Amen? We talked about Sunday night when we preached on the Biggest Loser, and we talked about we have sins of commission, things that we do that are wrong. But I'm afraid more than sins of commission, we have sins of omission, things that we are leaving out of our Christian lives. Yes, amen. Amen. It would be like when you bake a cake. My wife made a homemade cake for that auction, and by the way, I think they raised $480-something, Miss Shelley. Somebody tell me, is that about right? $423. Okay, $423. But that's pretty good selling cakes, amen? My wife's Chocolate Delight and Miss Sheila's one pie. I think that was about half of it. They just kept bidding, amen? But that went real good. But my wife was making a homemade cake from scratch on Sunday afternoon. And she said, I bought her a mixer for Christmas and she wanted to use that. She's going to make a dessert. She could use her mixer, so she made a cake. And what she did before she started making the cake, she went down the list and she decided, Brother Todd, everything she needed to make that cake. Now, she felt it necessary for every one of those ingredients to be in there. Yeah. Wonder what a cake would taste like without, give me a good ingredient. Sugar. Sugar. What would it taste like without sugar? Loaf bread, right? Amen. Is that about right? I mean, it just wouldn't have no sugar in it. What would it taste like without flour? An omelet. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rusty. Amen. I would say that a flour was a very important. Now listen, here's where we are in Christianity today. They may be more preached to this than I thought. Here's where we are in Christianity today. I believe if that's the way you like it, that's okay. But I believe flour is just not necessary to make a good cake. Now, isn't that the way we act? Isn't that the way we act? Well, according to what I've been taught, where I went to school, it doesn't really matter what ingredients you put in it. If you want to call that a cake, it's a cake. Yeah. No, like Brother Rusty said, it's an omelet. Amen. Amen. These kids in Louisiana did a skit, and I'm gonna find out and get a copy of that thing. This little girl, she's just standing here, but it's a pastor's daughter, and she's got a red bandana in her hand. And these kids come, you know, it's like they're walking down the street or the hallway in school or whatever. And the first little girl comes up and she said, "Wow, that is a beautiful yellow bandana." She said, "That is not a yellow bandana, it's a red bandana." And the other little girl said, "Well, that's not the way I see it. I see it yellow. My mama taught me all my life that that was yellow." She said, "I don't care what your mama taught you, it's a red bandana." She said, "No, it's not. It's a yellow bandana." Another girl walks up from the other direction. She said, "Oh, that is a beautiful blue bandana." And she gave her reason for calling it a blue bandana, something her professor taught her in college. But it didn't change the fact that was a red bandana. Yeah. Amen? No matter what everybody's ideas are, if you want a good cake, man, I'll guarantee it's going to have some flour in there. It's going to have some sugar in there. It's going to have some eggs in there. It's going to have some milk in there. Is that right? Is all that go in the cake? All right. It's going to have all that stuff go in that cake. Is that right? Those ingredients, there are some things that we need to add to. Now, we talked about taking away Sunday night. There's some things you can stand to lose. What were they? Anybody remember? Number one was what? Attitude. Lose that attitude. Amen. We talking about losing weight. What else was it? Was it bitterness? We talked about bitterness, unforgiveness. Huh? Yeah, bad thought process, bad thoughts, unforgiveness, sin. A lot of things we could lose, but while we're losing, there's some things that we need to add. Now, Rusty and them, Brother Jason, I don't know who even all is in on the biggest loser deal, but when they first started, you know what the first thing they had to decide? What they could not eat. Do you believe your weight is controlled by your diet? Of course it is. Is that right? Now, how do you lose weight? Don't eat, right? They could just go on up 70, 80 day fast. Guaranteed they're going to lose weight and die. Amen? And that's what most Christians want to do in our Christian life. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you go on a diet and do thinking about everything, you got to give up, give up, give up, give up, give up, give up. But somebody needs to tell you, hey, there's some good things in here you can have.
Yes, sir.
Amen? You know what? When you go on a diet, your taste buds change. We was watching The Biggest Loser, the real Biggest Loser, the other night. And they had a temptation. They had a temptation. And they got to go in there and look at all their favorite foods, their trigger foods that made them want to eat. And one girl's, and she's a big old girl, boy, one girl's was macaroni and cheese. I mean, she was a big old gal, but her thing was macaroni and cheese. You know what? She felt so much better from eating right and putting in the right stuff. She looked at that macaroni and cheese. She said, "It just about makes me sick." Yeah. Isn't that amazing? How? And I'll get to the scriptures in a minute. But isn't it amazing when you start taking out the bad stuff and not just taking out the bad stuff because that just leaves a void, but putting in the right stuff. Isn't it amazing how when you get used to the right stuff, how bad that old bad stuff looks? Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, talk to me now.
Yeah.
It's some sin in your life that you used to do.
Yeah.
Do you know whose cigarette smoke smells the worst too? Somebody who used to smoke. Amen. Amen. Isn't it amazing? You can look at somebody doing something that you used to do every day, and you go, "Man, I cannot believe I used to do that." Anybody like that? I cannot believe. I hear men talking, and I think, "Man, that is vulgar. I cannot believe I used to talk like that." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So if we'll replace the bad with the good, I'm telling you, it will enhance our Christian life. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. I better run through these. We'll be here late. chapter 4 and verse number 1. He said, let us therefore, say the next word.
Fear.
Let us what?
Fear.
And now society says no fear. All these little punks running around in their little lowrider truck. If you take the shocks out of a pickup truck and make the bumper drag the ground, you're weird. Amen. Hot rods were meant to be low, man. Amen. Not trucks. That just ain't right to do that to a truck. It's like putting a dress on a boy or something. You know, it just, something's wrong. Amen. And these boys riding around their little lowrider pickups and with their headers on their four-cylinder motors sound like a bumblebee. Amen. And they got the sticker in the back, no fear. But boy, the Bible says we're supposed to fear. Let us fear. What are we supposed to fear? Somebody tell me. We're supposed to fear the Lord. We ought to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Do you know why people do things as a Christian that they do? Do you ever do stuff and you wonder why? Why did I do that? Maybe that level of fear of God isn't where it used to be. Amen. Maybe the people that put stuff on the Facebook, and I know I kick that thing all the time. I've read some good stuff on Facebook. Amen. I preached that message the other night about, was it Obama, when I blistered Obama so bad, and the Muslims, and I don't know. Somebody called me the next day and said, you wouldn't believe it. It's all over Facebook. What a great message that was, and blah, blah, blah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. I'll tell you, when it's bad, I'll thank you when it's good. All right? But what would make somebody get on there and put information out that would hurt somebody else's life? No fear of God. It's no fear of God. As Christians, we ought not to take this thing for granted that we're healthy and we're doing all right. Amen. That our bills are paid and all that stuff. We better have a fear of God. Hey, I still believe the Lord chasteneth those he loves. Amen. Amen. I believe the Lord will whip your rear end. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
We ought to have a fear of God. We ought to have a fear of God. Amen. I think the Lord uses that fear and conviction. Ooh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Amen. I loved my mother. Somebody said, was you afraid of your mama? Listen, my mama was my best friend, but I was scared to death of her.
Yeah.
We all right? It was the right kind. It was a respectful fear.
Yes, sir.
I knew if my mother left me instructions, something to do before she got home from work. Always, anybody like this, I knew exactly what time mama would pull up in the yard. And I knew exactly how fast I could wash dishes and make my bed. Amen? And if it took me 5 minutes, and I could probably just about get it all done in 5 minutes, until she made me rewash them dishes, amen? I'd wait that last 5 minutes and run her and get it all done before she got home. Amen. Anybody like that? Why? Because I knew she was going to tear my rear end up if I didn't.
Yeah.
Amen. Your mama's pointing at you. You can feel it, couldn't you? Amen. You can feel it. My mama would walk in from work, and if the babysitter's eyes were swelled up, she'd say, go to your room. Because I was notorious to make a babysitter cry. I'd say, no, her boyfriend broke up with her. It wasn't me. Amen. But anyway, there was a fear there, and we ought to have a fear of God. Amen. What ought to keep us living clean and holy? Number one is because we love him.
Yeah.
Amen. We want to do right because we don't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
Amen. We don't want to grieve the heart of God. We want to live clean and holy because we love him. But number two, we ought to live clean and holy because we're afraid of it.
Yeah.
Amen. Because of the punishment of God. Amen. I look at some people sometimes, and I don't mean to judge, but we all do. Don't look at me like that. You say, oh, you're supposed to judge. I can't help it.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder? Do you ever wonder when you watch people go through certain things and you see how they are, where they are in their life with God, and you got to wonder, you wouldn't dare say it to them, but you almost want to ask, hey, where are you at with God?
Yeah.
Well, it got quiet. Where are you at with the Lord? Do you pray like you used to? Just because you're having a hard time don't mean God's punishing you. He may be trying to draw you closer to him. But sometimes God is punishing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There ought to be a fear of God. So let us therefore fear. Let's keep the fear of God where it ought to be. Amen. And I'm not preaching doom and gloom and boy, you better live right or God's going to kill you. But there ought to be something in our heart
that
we fear God. Amen?
Yes,
amen. Anybody ever felt God's wrath before?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Boy, I have. I believe America's feeling it right now.
Yes,
amen. Some of us feeling it in, as individuals, but I believe as a nation we're feeling it.
Amen.
That liar got on TV last night and said we was doing better.
Yeah.
We're not doing better. We're not doing better at all.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God's choking us a little bit and saying, hey, you better wake up.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Let us fear him. That's what's wrong with America. She's lost her fear of God.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. Well, you won't like this one. I don't like this one. He said, let us what?
Labor
therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. He said, let us labor. Y'all know what that word labor means in the Greek and the Hebrew? Y'all know what it means?
Work.
It means work. Amen.
Amen.
Same thing it means in the English, by the way.
Yeah.
Amen. Labor. Work. Let us work. Let us work. Listen, we said the other day, we're not working to go to heaven. We're working because we're going to heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
We're working to carry more folks with us when we go. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a good work. I remember Nehemiah when he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and the enemy came, Sanballat and Tobiah, and they said, why don't you come down here and have a good conversation with us? And Nehemiah said, why should I come down to you? I'm doing a good work.
Yeah.
Amen. Are we doing a good work? Are we involved in a good work? Is there something you're involved? Listen, if you're a new convert, you ought to be in a Sunday school class and soaking it up. And I'm fixing to let the cat out of the bag, I guess. Is it okay? We're going to start a class just for people who have just recently been saved. Get them rooted and grounded in the Word of God. But once you get a little bit rooted and grounded, you ought to find a place you can get in and do something.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, some people believe contrarily to what I do. I believe there's something you can do the minute you get saved.
Yes, sir.
There's something to get involved in the minute you get saved.
Amen.
Hey, man, you ain't got to have a Bible degree to ride a bus.
That's right.
Amen. You ain't got to have a Bible degree to keep a nursery.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't got to have a Bible degree to smile and greet somebody and shake their hand. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Listen, I believe I got more Bible for that than other people do. Bible for you can't do nothing for God till you got an education. One day Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria.
Yeah.
And that's the place the Jews just didn't go.
Amen.
And he went down there and he sat down on a well at noonday.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And a little lady came up. Y'all remember her?
Yep.
She had had five husbands, and the one she was living with now wasn't her husband. She was shacked up.
Yep.
Y'all remember?
Amen.
And Jesus gave her everlasting life, the water.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That she knew not of. Then she went to Bible college. She went through discipleship training, and she took four or five soul winning courses, and she got her degree in this and a degree in pastoral theology, and she took hermeneutics and hermeneutics and all that apologetics. Brother Tony Hudson said he went to Liberty University, and his dad was a famous preacher. He said he called home, said, Daddy, I'm coming home. He said, why? He said, they want me to apologize. They got a class on it. They do have a course called apologetics. But anyway, no, she didn't do none of that. The Bible said she left in such a hurry, she left her water pot.
That's right. Amen.
And she went right back to town. I'm not talking about a day after. I'm talking about then.
Yeah.
Right now.
Amen.
Come see a man.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Come see a man. Told me all things ever I did is not this to Christ.
Hallelujah, brother.
Peter,
yes,
who preached at Pentecost, and thousands were saved. Andrew, his brother. No training.
Amen.
No discipleship. No nothing. Peter, you got to come see this guy.
Yeah.
Andrew, but Andrew, we never did no great mighty works for God. He went and got Peter.
Yeah. Yeah,
he amen. Yeah. He went and got Peter.
Amen.
If you just got saved Sunday, hey, you could go home and tell a family member, hey, I can't explain all this to you, but you got to come check it out.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Let us labor for the Lord. Hey, I don't know about you, but I get another word that starts with the L stuck in there too often. Lazy, amen. Anybody got a streak of that in you? Yeah, come on, talk to him. Oh yeah, man. Like when we had them snow days. and you couldn't go nowhere and you couldn't do nothing. I got sorry as dirt. About a week after that, I had to realize, hey, dude, the snow's gone. You had an excuse for a few days to lay on the couch because you couldn't do nothing else. Amen. But now you can get up and hit the road, Jack. Amen. Amen. We all get a streak of that. But boy, we ought to be laboring for the Lord. Yes, amen. What time is it? I got a bunch more scripture. Chapter 4 and verse number 14. He said, seeing then we have a great high priest. Hallelujah. That is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Watch what he said. Let us what? Hold fast our profession. You know what that means? That means hang on. There's some things we ought to hang on to. Amen? Amen. There's some things we ought to hold fast. We ought to hold fast our King James Bible.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Defend it. How does that other slip in? If you don't make a big deal out of this one, that other will slip in. Amen.
Right.
Are we going to hold fast? We ought to hold fast to old-timey religion.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
We ought to hold fast to sound doctrine. Amen. The fundamentals of the faith. We ought to hang on to those things.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're not careful. This world's saying, oh, that's not necessary, and that's not necessary, and that's not necessary. And a lot of the things that we used to preach and push and harp on, fuss about, wasn't necessary. Amen. But boy, there are some things that are necessary that we need to hold on to. Amen. The fundamental truths of the Word of God we need to hold on to. Amen. I believe we need to hold on to old-time worship. I believe we need to hold on to straight Bible preaching instead of intellectual pep talks. Amen? Amen. I believe we need to hold on to that. The Bible said, for it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Amen? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to move on. We'll hit another verse of Scripture. Watching the Dr. Phil show, I mean, if you weren't in church or you wasn't, you're just an individual, you're not saved, and you're not affiliated with any kind of church, watching Dr. Phil, do you think they get the impression he's preaching? No. Not at all. So why would we get the impression that a so-called preacher is doing the same thing on a platform or a stage every Sunday that Dr. Phil's doing?
Yeah, you might.
It's not preaching. It's psychology and motivational speeches. Amen? That's all it is. I won't preach it. Amen? I want my grandbabies, I think one's in the nursery and one's sound asleep. I want them to grow up under preaching. You know what always amazes me? Hard preaching, this may be getting worse stuck right here just for a second. It always amazes me how hard preaching rubs some people so raw. And they can't seem to sit still, and they can't stand it. But at the same time, these little ones would just lay there. You ever thought about that? Huh? It's not the volume. It's what we're saying that bothers you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us hold fast. There's some things to hang on to. I got to hurry. Chapter 4 and verse number 16. Chapter 4 and verse number 16. So far, we've got let us fear. Let us labor, let us hold fast. Chapter 4 and verse number 16. He said, let us therefore what? Come boldly where? Under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. Listen, nothing can ever be an effective substitute for prayer. Amen? There's no way around it. There's only one way to pray, people. We got to come to God. Amen?
Amen.
And, bro, that's something we ought to add to our repertoire. We ought to pray. We ought to be a praying people. Amen. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm not the most educated man in the world. When I first got saved, I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. But I could pray. You know how I knew I could pray? That's how I got saved. I asked the Lord to save me.
Amen.
You can't tell me we pray like we ought to pray. Amen. You can't tell me. I wonder how many times people ask you, hey, would you pray for me about such and such? And you say, oh, I sure will, brother. I'll keep you in my prayer. And you never do.
Yeah.
You never do. Would you pray for my so-and-so? They're lost, and I'm afraid if they die like they are, to go to hell. I sure will. I'll pray for them. You never do. You just lied.
Amen.
Plus, you didn't pray.
Yeah.
Amen. Can I tell you how to fix that? Do it right then. Do it right then. I ain't talking about fall out on the floor on your face. You know, that's kind of hard to do when you're driving down the road and somebody calls you on the cell phone and say, hey, pray about such and such.
Yeah.
As soon as I hang, I do it right then. Lord, you heard that prayer request. God help them. You know, I mean, I do it right then.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We ought to be a praying people.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
We ought to be going always in a spirit of prayer. That's what the verse means where he said, pray without ceasing. Levi, when he was little, he thought that verse was pray about sissy. That's what he called Ashley. He said, pray about sissy, amen. And, of course, I wish he still thought that. He'd be praying for her. She needs it, amen. But seriously, we ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to be in the spirit of prayer. How many of you see a car wreck on the side of the road, you pray for those people? Man, I do that. I've done that ever since I got saved. Oh, Lord God, help them people, amen. Amen. We ought to go in a spirit of prayer all the time. Don't ever let anything take the place of your prayer life.
Amen.
Two most important things in your Christian life is your Bible, your reading of God's Word, and your prayer. And those are the two things that are the hardest to discipline yourself to do every day. Am I right about it? Don't you think the devil knows that? How important that is? Amen. I don't never have him. I mean, I don't have to fight to make myself watch TV. Do y'all? Oh, God, got to go in there and watch TV. Man, I've been all day and ain't watched TV. I can't believe that. No, that is not a problem, amen. I don't have a problem going, man, I ain't ate no microwave popcorn today. I better, you know, I don't have to discipline myself to do that. Why? Because that's feeding my flesh. But it takes discipline to feed that spiritual man. Amen? So let us come boldly. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 1. He said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Amen? Let us go on. What's that mean? Just go on.
Yeah.
Let's don't stop because we're in a recession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's don't stop because the money's bad. Now, there's some things in the church, as a church, that I would love to do that we just can't afford to do. Amen? I mean, there's some things I would love to have some new tracks printed up. But right now, as long as we can get them from Fellowship Track League free, that's what we're going to have to do. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Custom printing costs a lot of money.
Amen.
Amen. And we can hand out a free track that says the same thing. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's some things that we're going to have to cut back on, but there's some things that we're just going to have to keep on.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It don't cost nothing to witness.
It
don't. Y'all hear what I said? It don't cost anything to witness. That's free.
Yes, sir.
It don't cost nothing to invite people to church. That's free.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You come in contact every day with somebody you could invite to church. Every day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Amen.
Amen. I stopped at Aunt Gail's store today at the end of my road. By the way, she's doing a little bit better. I run into a fella. He said, how you been? I said, I'm doing good. He said, you still at Happy Valley? I said, if you'd come every now and then, you'd know. He laughed. He said, yeah, I figured you were going to get me. I said, yeah, I'm going to get you. I said, get me back. Be in church Sunday. Amen. Invite somebody. That's not just mine and Freddie and Charles's job. That's all our job. Amen. I liked what Sister Van Hall, Sharon Van Hall. She'd been telling me for 2 weeks, you pray for me. I've told every one of my children all I wanted for my birthday was for them to be in church. She had about 2.5-3 pews full of people Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know what was sad? They all used to be here every week.
Yeah.
Every one of them. They all used to be here every single week. Now they've all got out of church. Amen. But buddy, she pushed them to be here.
Yeah.
Who are you pushing this week?
Amen.
Let's just keep on keeping on. Amen. Let's just keep on keeping on doing what we're doing. Hey, I'm going to keep on preaching. Sometimes I feel like it's falling on deaf ears, going in one ear and out the other, and ain't doing a bit of good. But I'm going to keep on doing it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm not going to let up.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all wish I would, but I ain't about to. Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 4, or chapter number 10, I'm sorry. Chapter number 10. About done. I'll hit these quickly. Chapter 10, verse number 24. He said, and let us what? Consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Amen. I think that'd be a good thing for our church to do. Let us consider one another. Do you ever consider what your actions does to other Christians? Amen. I bet you I've let some younger Christians down before. They saw me lose my temper or whatever the case may be. We ought to consider how our lives affects the lives of others. Amen. We ought to be considerate of one another. Amen. Remember that when you're making your postings on your Facebook. Remember that when you're in conversation with your friends. Consider one another. Somebody said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a lie. Words are so, I'd rather somebody hit me with a stick. Amen. I'd rather somebody hit me. I told y'all about reading that stuff on the internet. Somebody, I don't even know where in that world that mess come from. There was nothing on the whole thing that was true. It was all lies. My wife said, oh God, I didn't want you to see that. So I just stumbled on it. She said, you all right? I said, well, I'm mad as a devil. I said, well, I'll be all right. But I really wasn't all that mad, man. Can I say it? Y'all do it all the time. My feelings were hurt. There really was. There was stuff personal on there about me and my dad. I mean, you know, come on, Jack. That ain't none of nobody's business. It hurt my feelings. Hey, man, I don't know why I said that. But we ought to consider one another. Amen. We ought to be considerate of what we say and what it does to other people. Amen. If somebody said, I cut up all the time about why I don't have Facebook. I always use the same excuse. You know too much about my life already. I'm afraid I might be tempted to get in on the conversation. I'd be afraid I might be as guilty as people I've preached about. Amen. I go on there fired up, mad, taken up for somebody or something. I almost did that on that one the other day. And I found out a couple of people around here heard about it and they did it for me. I didn't have to say a word. Amen. We ought to be considerate. Do you know once you put something on the internet, they say you can never get it back?
Yeah.
If you erase your Facebook today, it's still all out there. I don't know how all that works, but it's still all out there. Let's be considerate of one another. Hey, even when we're in a bad mood. You ever come to church in a bad mood? I've done it quite a few times, and I'm the pastor. Amen. You say, well, you couldn't tell it. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Somebody said, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. We ought not to wear our emotions so much on our sleeves all the time. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not saying you got to lie. Somebody says, how you doing? Great! I'm doing okay. I ain't had a good day. Pray for me. Amen.
Amen.
But we don't not bite people's head off.
Yeah.
Just because you're in a bad mood, that's not an excuse.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Just because you're in a bad mood, that's not an excuse. Just because you've got a headache this big, that's not an excuse to be mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Let's be considerate of one another. Whoo! Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. I'll hurry. I said that every verse, hadn't I? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We preached on this one the other night. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And what? Let us what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Let us run. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 13. I told you I'd hurry. Hebrews 13, 13. That kind of goes with the last one. Hebrews 13, or one before last. He said, let us what?
Go
forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Last one, Hebrews 13 and verse number 15. I like this one. He said, let us what? Therefore, what's the next word? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often?
Continually.
That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Amen. Paul gives us some things in Hebrews that we can do, that we can add to our Christian life. Amen. What is it? Praise. You can't praise God too much. I know every service ain't camp meeting style and we ain't always shouting the roof off and jumping the benches, but you've got reason to praise God every time you walk in this door. Amen. He calls his house a house of praise. Amen. And let's see. He said, let us go forth. Let's go. He said to those that are without the camp, we ought to go out there after them. Amen. He said, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Let us consider one another. He said, let us go on. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace. Let us hold fast. Let us labor and let us fear. Amen. A lot of things. While you're worrying about what to lose, you need to worry about what to put back to take its place. Amen. You need to worry about what to put back to take its place. You get rid of something that's bad, replace it with something that's good. Amen. Because if you just get rid of everything, all you're going to have is an empty vessel. Amen. We need to fill it with those things that are right. Let's stand to our feet tonight.